Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Those are invasive cyborgs. They have no natural predators here.
Right. Robot dinosaurs are an essential part of the ecosystem, okay?
Yes, of course. Hey guys, here it's the Lore Boys. Welcome back.
Hi.
My name's James Miller, and who else is here?
Hi, it's Ethan.
Hi, it's Peter O'Donohue, and since this is a Jamie episode, I'm just going to take over for him quickly and let you know I saw a hot dog fact on the New York Post when I was checking our Twitter notifications during our sound check.
Okay.
One hot dog takes 35 minutes off of your life. So maybe that's what that Five for Fighting song was about.
What?
Save a Life is warning people.
That can't be true.
There's no way.
If it takes you if it takes you 35 minutes to eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ducking jumbo brats here.
Yeah. By that logic, this episode of The Lore Boys took 91 minutes off your life. And we're going to be in the New York Post next.
When you put it that way, sounds surprisingly accurate.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
If Pete's front loading hot dog facts, I will front load Saucy and Left Blank, who corrected my assertion that there is no true Tau species on the last Tau episode. There is, turns out, a true Tau species. So the ones I described were truly Tau, the Croot, or something else, apparently. I got my wires crossed at some point, but thank you for those corrections.
I'll give you guys my favorite hot dog fact that's real. Hot dogs are meant to be enjoyed, not weaponized, was ESPN's quote of the year after the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council reacted to a fan throwing a hot dog at Tiger Woods during an event.
Tiger Woods deserved it. Okay.
Was it a porn star that threw it at him? It sounds like something that he would deserve if a porn star did it. Just like huck a whole pack of dogs at him.
Who the fuck wrote that down there?
We need more.
Hot dogs are meant to be enjoyed.
We need more porn stars throwing packs of hot dogs at celebrities, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a controversial opinion. Okay.
I think it's a great thing. I think you should be able to fuck a porn star if you want, as long as you're not married. I think that was the problem with it, like, more than anything. But naturally, they made it about the porn star thing.
Yep.
Anyway,
we all love glizzies, and meat comes from animals, right? Meat comes from animals. What's the biggest animal you could think of that ever lived on the earth?
Blue whale.
I know what the biggest animal that's ever lived. It's currently alive.
It's the blue
whale. It's a blue whale?
It's a blue whale.
It's bigger than any dinosaur.
What about the largest lizard, then?
Okay. Brachiosaur?
They're not lizards, but I think the largest lizard's Megalania. It's extinct, though.
Well, they're reptiles, though, right? I think that's what he meant.
They are.
It's reptiles.
That's true. Yeah.
I'll say Brachiosaurus.
I think it's like Argentinosaurus, actually, though. But what do we talk about?
So what if there was a Native American that could make the biggest lizard glizzies out there? And his name
the biggest glizzards. The biggest glizzards.
Glizzy glizzies.
Yeah, and so there's a Native American guy who's been fucking around with some lot lizards or whatever they said, and it's always sunny. truck stop whores.
Right.
The largest dinosaur, Dreadnoughtus? The largest dinosaur whose size can be calculated reliably, apparently. Which
that's a great name.
Yeah,
that is a fucking cool one.
Also, now next one is Titanosaurus, then Argentinosaurus.
Good. Dang, bronze medal for Pete.
And Saltosaurus.
What does the Titanosaurus look like? Is it like they four all, legs?
Yeah, they all look the same.
They all look like a Brachiosaurus.
They all look like long necks. Yeah,
except there's a little jack holding what's your name out on the top of the head.
Oh yes, yeah. Well, the Titanosaurus has four smokestacks, where the other ones only have two. So that's the difference.
Dreadnoughtus, 85 feet or 26 meters from head to tail. Pretty big.
How many football fields that? It's almost a football field, right?
That's way less than a football field. That's like probably about a quarter of a football field, though.
a football field, we have established, is 300 feet. 85 feet times 2 is 170. So it's like...
So the draft,
third, if there, yeah, there's not a whole almost, lot of room.
A third almost. If you're,
they'd have to play 2v2, right? Like, on a football field?
Yeah. On OP. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, anyways, all this dinosaur talk. We are doing Turok. So, do you guys have any experience with Turok in any way, shape, or form?
I know for a fact I played it on the N64, and I want to say my cousin's house, but no memory of it, really. Like, cool. I know I played it. I remember a bow and arrow, and I remember it being too hard for me at the time.
It was very challenging. That's
Yeah. What about you, Pete? I played it at a buddy of mine's place, N64 as well. Again, way too hard for baby Pete. But I played the kind of shitty reboot that came out on, like, the Xbox or something at some point.
The 2008 version.
That one I did play through with my buddy Kyle. And we beat it. It was a Blockbuster rental. We needed something to do before we could drink or smoke weed. So we had to beat Turok 2008. And it's not the worst thing on the planet, but it certainly isn't good.
It's just like a bunch of bro dudes. Like, and then you go down, like, basically like a glorified hallway and shoot either dinosaurs or humans, depending on what that room is. And then when you get to the end of that hallway, there's a boss character. Then you start on a new hallway, which is the next level.
Oh, yeah, it's... They take out the time travel for some reason, and it's like a research planet where they're cloning dinosaurs to use as weapons or something, which is really stupid, and we have an episode really about Jurassic Park. we have an episode about Jurassic Park. The plot of Jurassic World is also that, is they were trying to raise dinosaurs to be soldiers, and I'm just like, they don't speak English.
Yeah,
literally any person can do a better job.
You know what? We're making killing machines. Why not use real machines if you're going to make killing machines? You know what's better than a fucking velociraptor?
Actual children.
I'm pulling up like the names of the characters from that 2008 version, and they're all dudes. They're all like poking fun at each other. One's named like Slade, Reese, John Grimes.
It's all like Marcus Phoenix, Coltrane.
You play as Joe Turok.
Joe Turok.
Joseph, but no, it's Joe Turok.
Yeah. Open up, it's God. Joe who? Joe Turok, mama. Joe about to rock yo mama.
Yeah,
there we go.
Oh my god.
Anyways, the 2008 version, not the best. I played the first on N64. I owned it, so it was really hard for me. But I managed to push like a little bit into the game since I just had it all the time with me.
Yeah.
It should come as no surprise to listeners that Turok 1 was too hard for all of us, because as you know, those who can video game do, those who can't host a podcast about video games.
Yes. Also, shooters are pretty young around then, and adapting what now mouse and keyboard can do so well, or two analog sticks can do really well. The old N64 controller wasn't the best at being a first-person shooter controller.
I only found out there was a second old Turok 20 minutes ago when we checked the price of it on GOG. I had no idea there was a sequel.
I may have played the second one, honestly. I don't know. I remember a bow and dinosaurs, and it just being too hard for me.
Could be either. Yeah. The second one's very good. It's still, even today, if you look at like top 10 lists of guns in games, just how good the guns were in that, such an old shooter that it still comes up on lists. Like,
yeah, I even know about it's the one that like it shoots a drill into a guy's head and then blows it up. Everybody loves that shit.
Yeah, you have like a missile launcher that shoots like three seeking missiles. You have like a kind of like a glaive that you throw like a boomerang and it comes back to you. Your bow for the sneakiness, knife kills. It had a lot for an N64 version of any shooter.
But what happens in it, Jamie?
Yeah, so let's get into it. So if you haven't played it, it is an N64 first-person shooter. Plays a lot like Doom, but it also has elements of something like Tomb Raider with puzzle platforming type stuff. Tom B. Raider.
Tom B. Raider.
Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Raider, Mr. Tom B. Raider, you've left your bags at check-in.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's like a dinosaur.
Dinosaur and an ancient clay tablet.
So you play as a Native American man who needs to hunt either dinosaurs, aliens, and why he's put in that position we'll get into.
You're saying it's not just doing it for fun. This isn't trophy hunting.
Well, it's like, how do you get a dinosaur and a Native American man in the same room without making some type of walk into a bar joke?
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
What I mean? Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, Turok is actually not the hero's name in the two games that we'll be talking about, the first Turok and the second Turok.
Are you telling me in the reboot they changed him to John Turok and that they thought that was a better fucking idea?
Yeah,
than
right. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a title. Like, Turok would be like champion or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm gonna guess Joe Turok is a descendant of somebody who had this title at some point and it became a last name.
That's what they say.
A modern lens. That's what I would say too. Yeah, like your ancestors used to be people who milled shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My Pete's ancestors of the Donug. Is people who were of the Donug. You know, at first they didn't have last names, and it became that. My last name, obviously, people who palmed things.
You know. I'm glad we're really looking into the etymology of names, because there's gonna be a name that comes up a little later that is fucking fantastic. So it's not the hero's name, but it's like, it's the eldest born of each generation takes us on, and it's like a lineage of really strong people that have a lot of influence that we'll get into. This is stated on the box description of the first game. It says, the mantle has been passed. You've become protector of the earth. You are now Turok, dinosaur hunter. Make dinosaurs extinct again.
It doesn't say that.
It says exactly that.
It says that? Wow.
It was Donald Trump. It's all good.
Yep.
He just like, he pops on his red cap with the feathers in it. And he's just like, time to take these dinos out.
Dude, it might have even been before GoldenEye. Like, when did GoldenEye come out? GoldenEye.
In like 97 or 98.
1997, so it would have been like in the same breath.
Okay.
Yeah. So Turok's content actually takes place in the Lost Land in both the video games. So this is described as an interdimensional sewer of the multiverse.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Two different responses to that. Pete saying, hell yeah.
All manner of life from every corner of time and space can be transported there thanks to randomly appearing portals or tears in reality. It's an important place, and it's connected to everywhere. So to keep the Lost Land in good health is really important for the whole universe.
Okay. I mean, that's such a good setup for just a silly sci-fi shooter as well. It's just like, oh yeah, well, that's why all that shit's here is the universe is just colliding. That's conjunction of the spheres.
That's why we have mole men and dinosaurs, is because, you know, it's overlap.
I want to say, was it Jules Verne who wrote The Lost World, where, like, there's dinosaurs and also weird, like, goblin men at the center of the planet?
I believe so.
Yeah. It's a very good sci-fi setup. No, that's Jules Verne Troyer is Mini-Me.
Okay. All right.
I did Google The Lost World trying to pull this up, and it came up with Jurassic Park, The Lost World, of course. But it was Arthur Conan Doyle, author of Sherlock Holmes, author and creator of Sherlock Holmes.
So yeah, this is the being like the sewer of the multiverse. This is why you can have a Native American hero fighting cyborg dinosaurs all in the same setting, along with aliens and all the rest of it.
Yeah, someone flushed a dinosaur down the toilet. Someone got a baby dinosaur, didn't realize how big it was going to get, a third of a football field, and decided to flush it down a toilet.
Oh my god.
Interdimensional toilet. So I had heard of the Turok games, but not of where Turok actually started. I thought Turok the game was where everything started. Do you guys know where Turok comes from?
No.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote the first Turok novel in...
When was he born?
1867. I have no idea. I just closed the Arthur Conan Doyle wiki just a second ago. So
now, can I take a wild guess? Because there's an old movie that was in my head that I had to just pull up there, like while we were talking.
You can take a wild guess, but I just saw you Google, so you're not getting any extra points.
It's because I couldn't remember what it was actually called. Is it like a loose adaptation of The Valley of Guanji?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's inspired by it, but there's Turok comics, which date back to the mid-50s.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle died in 1930, so...
So he couldn't have done it, unless he put it in a safe and then...
Unless he literally ghost wrote it.
Yeah.
Also, Peter, I think the Jules Verne novel you're thinking of is Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Okay, yeah, that is it.
Yeah. The Turok title and Lost Lands part of this stuff, like Turok being like the title of a champion, this is canonized in the video games. Turok was the name of the dude in the comic. The Lost Land didn't exist, like this interdimensional sewer place in the comics. We can start with the comics and see where the base came from and then kind of build the video game canon on top of that.
But
Jamie, up until now,
but
I've
Jamie, you hate stuff. Comic books. You always complain when I talk about Thanos and Ant-Man.
I don't hate comic books. I hate the industry of spewing out a movie every six months that cash in on the masses.
Totally fair. They charge you a subscription fee and then $30 on top of that to watch it yourself and wonder why people pirate it.
Yeah. So the comics, Turok first appeared in a comic called Four Color Comics.
Is that 1, 2, 3, 4 colors, or is that for the sake of color?
Yes, the four as in the number four.
Okay.
four color comics. Probably because they had four colors back in the 1950s. They could be like, we have red, blue, green, and yellow.
Magenta, cyan,
black,
and
yellow.
Yeah.
The oppressed gamers back in the 50s had to get their RGB comic books.
It was RGB plus one. Yeah.
So in Four Color Comics, it appears to be like a comic book that wasn't just X-Men or just Superman, but there would be different tales from like different places.
Yeah, Astonishing Tales kind of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of comics were like compilation books back in
the
day.
A lot of sci-fi, like Heinlein and Asimov and all these writers of like the people who pioneered modern sci-fi, it was all like pulp they would submit to a monthly magazine. It was like short stories. So I have the Foundation trilogy in like a single book, but it's every chapter is basically a short story that he wrote in like the same tale kind of thing. So as you're reading the novelization of it in one book, it's like you get all these like random recaps where like two characters will have a dialogue like, oh, you remember like when this happened, and it's because when he was actually printing them, that came out like 6 months ago, not in the same book, right? So it's just super hard to remember.
Yeah, when I was looking through the Turok things, like he does get his own comic, but there's like offshoots of it of like young Turok that were showing up in just like a Sunday Weekly Digest type thing where you just get a few panels things like that. But so Four Color Comics issue 596, Turok Son of Stone, was the first time it appeared and had a whole issue just to itself. And then again in in the same comic, Four Color Comics, in issue 656. So when they first put it out, the first one, it got a little bit of traction. Then they put it out a second time to see if it would catch on, and it caught on a lot. And this led to Western Publishing picking up Turok Son of Stone as a standalone comic series in May 1956.
That is
might be the oldest thing I've talked about on this show.
Son of Stone is just a great epitaph. That is like a wicked nickname or title.
So Turok means Son of Stone in one of the languages that we're going to touch on.
Okay. Interdimensional sewer speak. Yeah.
I don't think it's a real language, so who cares? But
I would feel bad if you told me like, no, it's Mandarin Chinese. I'd be like, oh,
it's French.
It's French.
It's Apache. But Turok and his brother Ondar were pre-Columbian era Native Americans.
Okay.
Okay.
So they're identified as Mandan or Mandan, M-A-N-D-A-N, which is a Native American of the Great Plains who have lived for centuries primarily in now what is North Dakota.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah. North Chesterfield. And outside of Turok, Man of Stone, there's also a spinoff called Young Hawk. And if you guys could break down this name for me, it's written by Gaylord Dubois.
Gaylord was actually like a very common older name. That's like in what was it, that Ben Stiller movie, Meet the Parents, I think the first one.
Yeah.
His name was Gaylord. They all called him Greg. But like one of those names that really like snuck through history and kind of got twisted there, huh?
Yeah. Of the wood. Of the wood.
Dubois. Yeah. I just love that. It does sound like an expensive suit or like a fancy car. When it's just like, oh, no, please. I don't drive a Mercedes. This is a Gaylord Dubois.
I drive a Gaylord
Dubois.
Very
nice.
As he says it in interdimensional sewer speak.
Yes.
Je veux le gay boy. Gaylord Dubois.
Gay boy.
Gay boy.
Gay boy. Gay boy du Lord, yeah. So these early versions of the story, as I kind of touched on before, they don't mention the location as being the lost land, but instead they say they're trapped in a deep canyon in the Carlsbad area of New Mexico.
Okay. The home of the bottomless pit, Carlsbad Springs. Yep. Or Carlsbad
That's
Caverns.
The state. I didn't know about those. Are those real?
Yeah, it's a real bottomless
pit. Those were
pit
real,
in,
yeah.
In
yeah.
Nevada or New Mexico. Nevada. Oh.
Damn.
Bam! That's
pretty crazy. They haven't found a bottom yet.
Yeah, just keep going.
They got the. They need the Russians and their very long drill to see if they can find the bottom. Yeah.
Every Russian that sees it, or even a lot of them who just hear you speak of it, get so unaccountably erect that all the blood leaves their brain and they pass out. So,
oh, okay.
They just deep holes. Russians are about it.
Yep. And apparently, so are Turok and Ondar, the two Indian youths that lived there. And they meet ancient forms of life which have disappeared from all other parts of the world. So they're basically saying the dinosaurs that would have died to the volcano or the meteor or whatever happened, they were safe in this deep old Russian hole.
Soviets trying to dig up dinosaurs during the Cold War just so they can use them as soldiers against the Americans.
And they couldn't figure out why their pens wouldn't work at the pressure at the bottom of the hole, but then they just used a pencil instead, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I love that this is like, because that is a classic trope. It's kind of like a Loch Ness Monster sort of thing as well, where it's just like, well, no, it's just the prehistoric life that avoided extinction and has somehow just existed on the fringes of the known world for a little while. Like, I guess this is like Carlsbad or Scotland.
Yeah, it's before the... Yeah. It at least existed in the States before the white people came and coughed on the Native Americans.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. Well, because in this instance here, if it's pre-Columbian, it's set in like the somewhere between 20,000 years ago and like the 1300s, right?
Yeah, it's a big old window we got there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this part kind of reminded me of Horizon, since we're talking about it. It's like a tribe interacting with dinosaurs. And Turok refers to many of the prehistoric animals as honkers.
look at them honkers. Look at her with the two honkers behind her, huh? Holy Moses.
Andar has since not laughed at this joke for decades at this point. He just like stares at him. He's like, yeah.
So they have like more, they go more specific, I guess. So for a T-Rex, they're sometimes called runners. P-T-E-R-O SARS, pterosaurs?
Pterosaurs, yeah, it's like a pterodactyl.
What would you call them?
Gliders?
Sure. No. Flyers?
Flyers is right.
Hey.
Okay.
You got flyers?
Yeah, they get handed out at the grocery store sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a pterosaur just like pinned or like stapled to a telephone pole with like a little message on his belly. Like
plucked little phone numbers off
from his toes. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Velociraptors are You guys want to guess?
Shriekers? I don't know.
That was very close.
Oh, Screamers.
Screamers?
Yeah, you got it.
Hey, it's your cat, Pete.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Gone the way of the dinosaurs.
Gone the way of the Velociraptor, yeah.
Yeah.
Plesiosaurs are sea demons. Yeah, I would have guessed swimmers, okay. But this one they went for sea demons.
Yeah,
I guess
fire, shrieker, sea demon. Like,
really,
what the fuck,
really
dude?
Mixing up the formula on us here, huh?
Yep. And Triceratops are...
horn demon.
Horn pokers.
It goes back to the original format. It's
skewers.
Not
just,
bad.
It's just kebabbers.
Think dodge.
Rammers.
Rammers, you got it.
Okay.
I don't know who's keeping score. I assume bison, but I do think I came out on top in that one.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So the original series of comics, there's about 200 issues of Turok, and they're released between 1956 and 1982.
Okay.
So it was a long time running.
A long stretch for that many issues, too.
Yeah. Most of the time, if you're wondering about the plot, if there's like an overarching one, there's not really. It's usually, well, Andor and Turok, there's a giant monkey who's stealing the women from the tribe. We better
giant monkey stole all our bananas.
Yeah.
But to be fair, a giant crocodile with a crown stole all his bananas.
It's a real honker of the week series, basically.
Yeah,
yeah. Right?
Exactly.
The mix, too, of just like, yes, okay, so we've got the classic prehistoric setup. It's a valley somewhere in the U.S. that somehow no one ever found, full of dinosaurs. Also, monkey men. Hell yeah. Literally everything.
Yeah, I was looking up, like, some of the names of it, and it's always like, Turok and Anders run into this thing. And so, yeah, that's pretty much all of it. In 1992, Valiant Comics revamped Turok. They picked up the rights. And they debuted him in a comic called Magnus Robot Fighter number 12.
Hell yeah. I would buy that comic.
Yep.
You got it. You see that? You got it. Monkey Brain says bye. Monkey Brain see shiny says yes, please.
Monkey Man say kidnap women from village.
Take banana if you see it.
Yeah.
So they changed the concept and the setting with this new introduction. Turok and Andar are no longer pre-Columbian, but they're 18th century Native Americans.
Okay.
Okay, so post-Columbian, some would say.
Yeah.
The calendar, for one, would say that.
I like the idea of keeping the canon continuous, and just like they popped into the sewer dimension, finally escaped after years, but like hundreds of years later in our time. Experienced post-Columbian Native American life for just long enough to become jaded, and then accidentally slipped into another Carlsbad Caverns bottomless pit and ended up back in the sewer dimension.
They were in like the bottomless pit up until now, and now they are in the Lost Lands where it is the, like you said, the sewer of the multiverse.
Okay, so the sci-fi setting is part of the reboot in the 90s, where they were just like, I guess because the trope of just the undiscovered canyon full of dinosaurs, no one would understand that anymore.
Yeah, they probably also want Turok to be able to like shoot a man with his bow and be kind of justified. Like, I think after you go through Colombian folks showing up.
I just want Turok to shoot a man, damn it. I'm going to write the writers. It's like angry letters flooding into the studio. The series is great, but why doesn't he kill any men, goddammit?
Like I said, in the 1700s, you could kill a cowboy if you want. Like, yes, thank you.
Yes, please.
So a cosmic anomaly causes time in the Lost Lands to move in a self-contained loop, which means that while millions of years pass outside of it, time barely moves at all. We'll talk about the anomaly... near the end, or in the middle of Turok 2, of what actually caused that, but you just know that something happened around the Big Bang, actually, that caused this little bubble.
Okay, so when you say time doesn't move very much, does that mean, like, any point in time can interact with kind of any... like, any point in our timeline, let's say, can interact with this pocket dimension? So, like, if you're in the Turok dimension, and I'm not saying this happens in the game, could, like, you come from pre-Columbian, or let's say post-Columbian... or post-Columbus.
Can you move forwards and backwards in time in interacting with the time with this area, right? Like,
can
a guy from the 80s go in and then a guy from the 70s comes in after him, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking a dinosaur pops out of nowhere in front of you and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Okay. Loreboys canon, let's say yes. Cool. The story never has to interact with anything like that, so we don't have to test yes or no on that.
There's no bell-bottom pants, so a guy from the 70s is not the next... There's no, like, Johnny Turok from 1977 who gets from his disco dimension into the lost lands.
Moonwalked into a black hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from Magnus Robot Fighter, the crossover's main villain is a psychotic superpowered being known as Mother God.
Okay, sure.
And she uses the Lost Lands as her base of operations. She outfits dinosaurs with intelligence-boosting implants, turning them into bionosaurs. So you get these cool...
Hell yeah. I mean, that's Horizon Zero Dawn right there, right?
Yeah, but I bought Horizon Zero Dawn and 100% it in less than a week the last time, and I might just have to buy Turok after this.
I love the term bionosaurs is the most 90s thing that we've talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. That could have been a show, for sure. With the shitty 3D animation of the 90s, like that easily could have been a show.
Oh, I would have loved it.
So if you're into it, you can definitely go check out those comics. But in the aftermath of the final battle between Mother God and the Valiant Universe heroes from this robot comic, I didn't look into it at all. The Lost Lands begin to disappear. For some reason, I guess once you get rid of Mother God or you had a big fight like this, it just started to go away.
Just all those bionosaurs pumping too much CO2 into the atmosphere.
I was thinking it was just like Turok playing Johnny B. Goode on a guitar, looking at a Polaroid photo, and all the dinosaurs are fading away.
He's like shirtless in a native headdress, playing on an electric flying.
That's it. Mother God, whatever this cartoon supervillain looks like holding up a phone to Turok doing this, like,
yeah.
That's a joke for everybody who's seen Back to the Future. If you haven't seen Back to the Future, enjoy it.
Go back to the future and watch it.
Yeah.
So Turok and Andar, as the Lost Lands are beginning to disappear, are tossed into a post-apocalyptic future Earth. And a group of bionosaurs make it to Earth along with them. They become ruthless hunters trying to contend with the demons and aliens that exist in the future world. As there's also Lovecraftian abominations, high-tech future warriors, so they're just back on Earth in some type of crazy fucking situation.
Like, this is one of those things where it's just like, yeah, we bought the rights from a pulp comic from the 50s and didn't keep any of it. Just like just the main character, the main character's name and I guess his backstory. They just kind of modernizes him a bit and then was just like, yeah, well, actually it's just a regular comic at this point.
Yeah. If you're interested in those, you can check out Valiant Turok Dinosaur Hunter. And that was launched in 1993, and I think there's 53 issues. In the end, Mother God seizes the power, and with the help of the Campaigner, who's going to come back in the game later, the Long Hunter, Thunder, which is a biomechanical T-Rex, Mantid, a 30-foot robot praying mantis, and she...
Okay, I injected so much robotics into a normal praying mantis that it is now 30 feet tall. Just a tiny, I'm just picturing like a Pacific Rim-esque kaiju where it's just a tiny little praying mantis just steering this thing from the inside. Like an actual full-size praying mantis. Or two tiny praying mantises, I guess, if we're going to compare it to Pacific Rim.
Right.
Well, yeah, because controlling the mech suit it would overload the brain of your average praying mantis. So you need
exactly.
You need to drift two of them.
But you gotta make sure that it's not like male female, because otherwise they'll try and mate, and the female will decapitate
tears
the male.
That off one.
Yeah.
Although that might be more convenient for hooking up the brain to get that processing power, right? Pop the head off.
The male body's still drifting, even though it's being devoured. You know, it's your animal fact for the day.
So 1997, the creator of the game and the now owner of Turok picked up Turok, and it's Acclaim Entertainment.
I've heard of them.
They're within, they did a bunch of stuff. They did like Tiger Heli, like that cool NES, like over-the-top helicopter shooting game. They did some like Ren and Stimpy games like early 90s, if you were going to Blockbuster, or like late 90s, you were picking up a lot of their games.
I will say I Googled them quickly. I got to the Wikipedia page and they have a link to games published. Obviously, it's like the fifth subchapter, and then it takes you to another Wikipedia page, just lists of Acclaim Entertainment games. Like,
I'd had the same journey today, and I found a lot of them that I recognize.
Ton of games here, yeah.
They were huge back then, and they would take like things like from TV shows and adapt them. Also, just take on like fresh games or even buy up old comic stuff too, because Acclaim Comics. They had their own section of the company for comics.
Cool.
Okay. So 1997, 1998, they revamped the universe, and Turok is now not the character's name, but is the title, meaning Son of Stone. So we finally got to when they revamped that.
When Turok's had a baby, they made a Turok.
Yeah.
Turok. It's like O'Donoghue, but Turok.
Yes.
Yep.
Who would win, The Rock or Turok?
Turok, because he's
The Rock.
The Rock is one rock. Turok is two rocks.
Yeah.
Easy win.
He's also got all those guns.
<It's true. laughs> The Rock has two pretty big guns. Okay.
He's got two guns. Oh, yeah. Yeah. A little. I don't know what his reach is. They're a bit shorter range than a bow and arrow.
So the story for this one is Turok must protect the barriers between this dimension and the others. He's back in the... I'm forgetting it again.
Lost
the
Lost Lands?
Lost Land, exactly.
Okay.
Lostland?
He's back. Yeah. So he lives there, and things will come and go from the world, but he's all about preserving the Lost Land. It's a place where creatures from across time and space have been dragged to, and where time has no meaning.
What are clocks?
So is he trying to preserve the balance of the amount of dinosaurs versus the amount of cyborg dinosaurs that are in nature to preserve the ecosystem or something?
Right, yeah. Okay. I think as long as they stick to their little corner of the Lost Lands and they're not trying to hurt others, they're cool.
Those are invasive cyborgs. They have no natural predators here.
Right. Robot dinosaurs are an essential part of the ecosystem, okay?
Yes, of course.
In this version of the Turok comic, the main character is Joshua Fireseed.
Which okay, that's a way better name than cousin Turok.
Cousin to Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah.
he walked around the United States just planting fires.
Planting hot peppers.
Yeah. Instead of sowing his seed everywhere, he gave everyone an STD.
Yeah, syphilis.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
It was a killer for a long time.
Yeah. So he's also the main character of the second Turok game.
Oh, okay. Josh is.
Yeah. Joshua Fireseed.
Joshua Fireseed, okay.
He's the latest Turok. So he's protecting the Lost Lands, that's his whole thing. And this leads us up to Acclaim Entertainment's and Iguana Entertainment's 1997 video game release, Turok Dinosaur Hunter.
Okay.
Also known in Japan as Space-Time Warrior Turok.
Well, that doesn't make sense at all.
Well, no, I mean it does.
It makes a hell of a lot more sense, actually.
I would, Peter, I don't mean to keep nagging you here, but I'd say it makes exactly the same amount of sense, because he is a warrior in space-time, and he also is a dinosaur hunter.
Yeah, well, he's just trying to balance out nature more than anything.
So the story revolves around Talset, Talset, okay, who is the current Turok during this time.
That's how you know it's a good fantasy name, because it has an apostrophe in it.
Yeah. He's a warrior of Saquin descent, or Sake, S-A-Q-U-I-N. I looked it up, and I don't think it's a real branch of what Native Americans were, but it was just a branch they made up for this game in the 90s.
Okay.
That was a Native American tribe who were in the deserts of New Mexico into central Oklahoma. Yeah. Their culture is linked with the Abascan people of Alaska, which I'm not sure if is made up. And in the Saquin tongue, Turok means son of stone. But
okay,
yeah.
But so, it's just made up language.
Yeah, in the Saquin, I didn't look up the other one you mentioned, but Saquin is definitely fictional per the Valiant Comics fandom.com wiki.
I did the same Google earlier. And then when you go down. You go down and it's like, WebMD, should you take Saquin? Is it right for you? Because apparently it's a medication as well.
My guess as to why they made up a tribe is because you would probably have to check with one of the like existing nations to be like, yo, can we use your guy's name in our video game where you hunt dinosaurs? And they either didn't bother or they said no.
I think it was a real tribe, the one they used in the 50s, but they probably could just get away with more in the 50s.
Well, yeah, I assume anyone. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, they probably just didn't want to... They wanted to make their own mythology for the tribe and everything, right? So,
yeah. So, Turok means son of stone, and it represents an ancient mantle handed down to each member of the Fireseed lineage. This also comes with basically a bag of holding. It's like a leather sack that they keep on their... It looks like a gun holster kind of thing. Hell and yeah. It can hold as infinite guns as long as you're the Turok.
Infinite guns, hell baby. Yeah.
If you're not the Turok and you put your hand in there, you won't find nothing.
Two weapon limit for all those other losers, but for Turok, you get the weapon wheel, and it's in a bag.
Yep.
Nice.
When I watched a criticism of the 2008 version, they were saying that you couldn't have all your guns equipped at once. You had to just equip certain ones if you wanted to use them on the fly, which I thought went against the lore, but thanks, 2008.
maybe the sacred leather satchel was lost in the intervening thousands of years that we achieved spaceflight and colonizing distant planets.
Yeah, you know what? Joey Turok, he's probably a faker anyways. I don't think he's a real Turok.
I don't think Joey Turok is the real Turok.
Nope.
I mean, he wouldn't be, right? It because if he's not in this interdimensional space, how did he get the title, right?
Yeah. That it goes so against the canon and everything else that I like watched a review but didn't include anything in my script. I was like, it just doesn't fit with the rest of the world.
Lore Boys canon has written out Turok 2008 officially, so y'all can rest easy.
It's a better world in here, honestly. Like,
yeah.
So Talset, his quest is to stop the Campaigner. The Campaigner is an evil warlord who seeks an ancient device known as the Chronoscepter, which we'll get into. The Campaigner is basically a cyborg man, and he's evil.
Not Earth God, Mother God?
Mother God.
Decided to also implant him with robotics to make him a cyborg man.
Probably came from that.
Yeah. She's sitting there one day, she's like, well, I've done it with dinosaurs, but dare I even voice it? What if I did it with man?
Just take your dumbest guy who's like closest on the intelligence scale to on the IQ scale rather to a dinosaur. And see how smart you can make him. Definitely smarter than a dinosaur, but like maybe not as smart as a parrot. I don't know.
It's implied that the Campaigner is like the Turok. Like when one Campaigner passes away, the title will be passed on to another one.
Okay.
They'll become
yang.
Exactly. Yeah. So like Campaigner. He represents everything like manufactured and evil, and the Turok is something like closer to the earth and good. So that's like the two sides of it, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. And the Campaigner, like I said, is a title that it goes across multiple generations. So the Chronoscepter, what is a Chronoscepter that the Campaigner's after and Talset really wants to stop him?
It's Flavor Flav's walking cane. Is what I'm gonna guess.
Yeah, big clock, wooden shaft, you know, little metal nub at the bottom.
Nice RGB colors.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, oh, that yeah. too.
Yeah. It's an ancient destructive weapon that was created thousands of years before the events of the game, and it has to do with the Lazarus Concordance, which are, for all intents and purposes, you can just think like the old ones, ancient civilization that we don't know much about.
Okay.
The Lazarus Concordance.
Okay.
They found this thing, and they shattered it into 8 pieces and scattered them across 8 convenient levels in order to prevent it into falling into the wrong hands.
What, were these guys, was the wizard from Glover also one of these Lazarus Concordance fucking fellows?
This was, like, the mid-90s, anything remotely platformer, like, the formula, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. It's so good.
Pieces to pick up, you gotta put them together. Why are you gonna go to places? To pick up the pieces, baby.
Oh, yeah. Except in Turok, on the way, you can run into cyborg dinosaurs and, like, pick up a minigun and mow them down at the same time. Which
was there not one of the stages of Glover that was that? I don't really remember the episode, but...
you could you could get a ball, there was heavy ball, there was a minigun, and then there was, I don't know, the regular-sized crystal that you could, like, lob.
Yeah, that was all
wonderful. I like the idea of him one-handed trying to control a minigun and, like, the spray just going back.
Yeah. Spinning.
Until you save your brother, then you get two hands on there and control it.
Yeah.
Sinestro.
Yep. So you video games and you collect all the pieces. And along the way, it's actually like a really hard game, like we were saying. Like, you collect different weapons. You start off with your bow, then eventually you get the pistol, then the shotgun, and that's as far as I remember. And then the minigun, I think. I didn't get far enough in the game to really know, and also I haven't played it since probably the mid-2000s.
So. I think there's a bow. So that's all I know. That's all I know.
You definitely start with a bow.
There was a bow in Turok 2008, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was... there was that. There was, like, dual pistols. The bow, actually, in 2008 version, something cool, if you hit, like, a man in the chest with the bow, the animation, the guy would pull the bow, like, the arrow out of his chest before returning fire.
That's pretty cool. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
That's not advisable. You should snap the shaft and leave it buried.
Yeah.
Because the barbed arrowhead will fuck you up more on the way out than it will on the way in. Usually they push them through.
Oh. You can't do that on the battlefield, and it doesn't look that... I mean, I guess it would look cool if you just, like, grabbed it by the feathers and just jammed it through the back of your chest.
Jammed
it
through
the back, and then started returning fire.
Yeah, and, like, spit on the ground, like, blood. Yeah. And
returning spit fire. Out the arrowhead, just like, fuck you.
Damn, dude, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Oh. It was just a joke. It's just a prank, bro.
So once you collect all the 8 pieces, along the way, there's a bunch of puzzles you need to do, a bunch of enemies you need to fight. But then you get to fight Campaigner in a 1v1, and all 8 pieces are together, but it's who's going to get it, you or the Campaigner kind of thing. I watched the fight. It looks hard.
Okay, maybe I won't.
Yeah, it looks tough, but if you do beat him, you will get the Chrono Scepter. So the Campaigner will die to be reborn as another Campaigner at some other time. So now you're left with, what do you do with this Chrono Scepter type
go
thing.
Back and that's, use it to go back in time and kill Hitler.
Well, that's a good idea.
But you need to go forwards in time, because he's kind of like in a loop right now, and there's still dinosaurs.
I guess
you just need to find the gateway to April 18 something, whenever he was born.
Kill the dinosaur that would have a baby that would eventually lead to Adolf Hitler via
right.
evolution.
Yes. Well, at this point, it would be like a shrew or something. You need to find the shrew. Who is like. The great to the exponent 40 grandparent of Adolf Hitler, and kill that shrew.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one solution.
Yeah.
Are you saying that's not what happens at the end of the game Turok? You go back in time to kill shrews?
It's just kind of where it leaves off for Turok 1. You get to have the Chrono Scepter and, like, run around and play with it as a gun. And it looks like a long, almost like a...
Like a scepter?
It looks like a scepter, yeah.
You don't fucking say, huh?
With the blue gem on the end, and like you shoot what looks like a blue beam, and then it just explodes in this giant blue cloud, which these crazy graphics you never would have seen on the up until the N64.
It's too bad it doesn't like age guys to death. The glove in Singularity will like make guys old and then they die that way, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they were like ambitious with what they did with Turok, and it looks great for its time, but they had to like cut the textures, cut the music, a lot of stuff just to fit it on it. I think it's an 8 megabyte cartridge
without the without the rumble pack addition to the RAM. Like, yeah,
it's really small. Yeah, so they had to trim a lot, but I think if you buy the PC port, which is still available, you get those what they were meant to be textures.
I should hope so. I think my computer is slightly better than an N64. Maybe I could... Have I earned the extra textures in Turok? Oh, acclaim.
Apparently, like the N64 in 1997 was like way more powerful than most people's PCs, which is fun to think about, right?
Yeah.
how that's changed, where like the consoles used to outweigh the personal computers, and now it's the other way around.
Yeah, well, now you have a digital watch.
Yeah. With inflation, they used to be like way more expensive too. Like, I think the Atari 2600 in today's dollars was like $1,600 or something like that. Like,
yeah, just crazy.
Like, people would balk at that for sure.
Yeah,
but now it's for the masses.
So next up is we finish off, you get the Chrono Scepter, you get to run around the world and play around with it and just like one shot T-Rexes, but we do have to solve the problem. So that happens in Turok 2, Seeds of Evil.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh wait, in Turok 2 they're just planting seeds? Well, then there's
fire
gotta be
seeds.
Yeah, there's gotta be a Turok 3, Fire Trees of Evil.
So yeah, shortly after Talset defeats the campaigner, the warrior had to decide the Chronoceptor's fate. They go into some dream sequence where he talks to like future and past versions of himself or things like that.
It's like the Avatar, basically.
The Avatar, him. That's my exact thought. Yeah, James Cameron's the Avatar.
Yes. Yeah, where he's, but that's Tarak Mukto is the guy who flies the dragon thing.
When Tarak fucks his girlfriend's ponytail or something, I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing I remember from that movie is the title of Dinosaur Rider for some reason. Like, none of the characters' names. Just, he's Tarak Mukto.
Yeah. So eventually he decided that the best way to get rid of this thing is throw it into an active volcano.
Okay.
All right.
Fair. Yeah. Very Tolkien-esque.
So this did prevent the artifact from being used for evil, but it also would be the cause of a violent earthquake that shook the Lost Land. Oh. And this would cause a whole new slew of problems. This shockwave awoke the Primogen, who had previously been put into a deep slumber by the Lazarus Concordance.
Who also made the Scepter.
Yeah, or at least discovered it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Primogen was awake, but not an immediate threat, but there would be a threat, like, down the line. So Talset was able to grow old and retire as Turok while the Primogen was becoming a problem, and Joshua Fireseed took on the mantle before it was time to handle the Primogen.
Like any good boomer, he started a line of dominoes, and he was just like, my grandkids can handle that one.
I awaken an ancient evil that's going to threaten the entire existence of the world. I'm gonna retire at 60 and buy a boat. Okay,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Have fun with that, kids.
Nope.
I'm also gonna put more exhaust pipes on dinosaurs. I think we could get more CO2 in the air.
Yeah, the Primogen. So, what is the Primogen? It's an alien creature that was imprisoned long ago in the wreckage of the spacecraft. Of its own spacecraft, after attempting to witness the Big Bang.
Okay,
that's kind of cool. All right,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that would work for you.
You can just get it on DVD now. You don't need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Neil deGrasse Tyson will narrate it for you if you want.
I guess he was trying to learn something or something, but he came from another universe that presumably had its own Big Bang, and they wanted to see what this Big Bang was like. And by trying to witness the Big Bang, it actually created the bubble, which is the Lost Land. It's only created because the Primogen was there, and now he became imprisoned within it, and the Lost Land exists. So
okay.
He is that,
like Lavos in Chrono Trigger. He's like the point in time now.
Yeah, he's the imperfection in the fabric of space and time.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So the, like I said, he's a big old alien creature, and now the Primogen, he kind of has some influence from his, time cage, and he's able to take control of some unsuspecting creatures through telepathic powers, within the Lost Land. And the thing that is actually keeping him in, there's five nails on in the world, or there are five energy
five
totems.
Different levels.
Yeah. Five energy totems. And once these totems are destroyed, it will release the Primogen, shattering reality and destroying our universe in the process.
Oh, no. Okay. That sounds bad.
Yeah, it's not good. But we got Johnny Appleseed, Joshua Fireseed ready to save the day. So don't worry.
Johnny Joshua Fireseed Appleseed. Right?
Yes, of course.
He's summoned by Adon, A-D-O-N, the Speaker of Forever Light, and she's just a character that exists in the Lost Land.
What was his brother's name in the comics? Was it not that? Have I forgotten already?
It's close to that, but it's not quite that.
Perhaps it was an homage to that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Andar.
Andar. Okay, never mind. Yeah.
He can put his arm back on. You can't. So play Zane. Adon is her name.
Okay.
And she explains that Joshua has been summoned by the elders of the Lost Land, the Lazarus Concordance. So she has some type of tie to these ancient ones, and is summoning Joshua Fireseed to save the day.
Sure.
Yeah. His goal was to stop the Primogen from securing and destroying the enemy the energy totems that keep him from powering his lightship. So there's three things he's got to do. He's got to find the energy totems, destroy all the things trying to attack the energy totems to save the totems, and then destroy the Primogen to end the threat. Although, to me, that sounds like it might end the universe too, but that's the goal.
Well, yeah, release, or like, is destroying not releasing? Is he going into the tomb of the Primogen to destroy him, or...
I think he has to, yeah. So I guess a dead Primogen's just as good as a Primogen not leaving.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
I will say, I assume we're going to talk about the game's ending.
Yes.
I did go to
both
the
of them.
Primogen wiki page. Oh, are you going to talk about the comics as well? Or both of the endings of the game, okay. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So the end of the comics and the junior novels, technically, it says that the Primogen dies by being absorbed into the light burden, the bag of holding that Turok has. Or not just absorbed, but willingly absorbed. So now I'm super curious how the comics deal with Primogen dying.
All right, this is the second game. I don't know how the comics will do it, but yeah. So depending on Turok's actions, you can get two different endings. You do have to beat all the powers, and if you fail any of the energy totem events, I guess you can just like lose an energy totem and then stop them from killing the other four.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like an old-timey kind of moral score system, like in Mass Effect or something, where it's just like save a certain amount of totems and then you get the good ending.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, if you save all of them, you get the good ending, and then the other one, the bad ending. I think you might be let down here, Ethan, because I'm not sure why he's willingly absorbed. But in the bad ending, if you don't do it all, it says thank you for your valor. The Primogen is no more. His body has been crushed, but the power of his mind is great. The physical destruction of the Primogen has stabilized the structure of the Netherscape. I fear the Primogen is not truly gone. For now, we can only wait.
Ooh, spooky.
Okay. Yeah. And in the good ending, he says, the Primogen has been destroyed, Turok. The combined energy from the totems has shattered his body and destroyed the last traces of his telepathic powers. The Omniverse is in your debt. So yeah, so you can finish him off for good or leave him for another Turok like your boomer grandpa did.
Yeah. reappear as a CEO of an army corporation who wants to use dinosaurs in the military. So that next guy is the Primogen.
He wants to build. He wants to use dinosaurs and strap them with rocket launchers to use in the military. But he also wants to build electric dinosaurs that don't pollute the atmosphere. So, you know, he's sending one of them to space. He's very hip and trendy. He's big on Twitter. Okay, so maybe he's okay, the Primogen.
I like that
on Twitter.
I like that my kids can watch Disney Plus on their electric dinosaur on the way.
Yeah,
to
yeah. On their electric dinosaur.
Well, in the 90s, you know, a dinosaur had less RAM than a digital watch. But now,
except for those Tyrannosaurus, or what the fuck are the Rammers?
Triceratops. Yeah. The Ram Rods. Yeah.
So there are other games, and even an animated movie for Turok. I didn't look into anything about the animated movie. I watched for Turok, the re-release in 2008. I watched like a review on it. But there also is... So it goes Turok, Dinosaur Hunter, we talked about today. Turok 2, Seeds of Evil, it's Johnny Fireseed.
Yep.
Then there's Turok Rage Wars, which is only released on the N64. Turok 3, Shadow of Oblivion, only on the N64. Turok Evolution, only on the N64. And then the Turok re-release. So,
Fuck. I remember the cover for Turok Evolution. It's like it's just a raptor jumping out of the box.
Yeah, actually, that one I'm not sure if it's only N64. That might have been one of the multi... But you can't get it now.
That's another blockbuster memory of mine, like a dream, basically. Okay.
I will say there was Turok Battle of the Bionosaurs, which was released on the original Game Boy. Which is apparently, it says it's the counterpart to Turok Dinosaur Hunter, so it's like the counterpart to the original.
It sounds like that's within like the second comic universe instead of the third. Like it's the one right before Acclaim.
This is from the list of Acclaim games. So,
oh shit!
Yeah.
Wow.
Kids these days don't want Bionosaurus. We gotta change. We gotta reboot.
But just in case they do, we'll make a Bionosaur game for the Game Boy.
Yeah.
So Turok 1 and 2, they're both, those are the ones, in my opinion, worth playing, and they're on Steam and on my wish list. And just go check it out if you want. also, probably if you've never played any of them, 2 would be a good place to get in, just because I hear the gunplay is like really phenomenal for the time and really can still hold up. But Turok 1, definitely for the nostalgia. I thought about the opening level today, and I'm like, oh, I just want to experience again and see what it feels like versus what it felt like when I was a youngster.
I think the guys who ported it to PC are like Night Dive Studios, and they specialize in porting old shooters to PC. Good. I very much doubt that Turok 1 is nearly as hard with a mouse and keyboard or like a regular controller these days. We were probably, you know, held back by being... Six? And using an N64 controller.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of hurdles for us to overcome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And, well, that's been Turok. I had a lot of fun looking it up, and I think we even need more Dinosaur Hunter games, because I like them.
I'll throw my hat in and say, yeah, absolutely, more Dinosaur Hunter games. Can't hurt. Can't hurt. You know what I mean?
Horizon 2 got delayed, so we've got an opening in the market in 2021 if somebody wants to just like quickly crank out a quick Dinosaur Hunting game.
Yeah, we need to fight a Dreadnosaur, a Titanosaur, Blue Whale.
Yeah.
Blue Whale.
Dreadnoughtus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue Whale would have to be on, like, wheels, so it's an actual threat.
Right.
The arteries leading into a blue whale's heart are big enough for a man to swim through.
Well, that could be a little passage right there.
There you go.
In the game, huh?
Yeah.
That could be an interesting level. They did it in Gears of War 2. You go inside that big worm.
Yeah. God of War, you fight, like, Gaia's heart, I think. You could...
You go
do that type of thing.
You go, you kill the Titan after she turns on you.
Yep.
That's God of War 3, I believe.
I think so.
And you do that to Kronos as well, I think.
Yep. Absolutely. Your father.
Cool.
Thanks for listening.
Get the fuck out of here now.
No, thanks everyone for listening. We have been the Lore Boys coming at you live from our homes. Jamie was the host this episode, and Jamie, do you have anything that you want to plug or recommend our listeners do? Do you have any political opinions you want to push on them or something like that?
Yeah. go to the Discord, and I hate what the dinosaurs did to the Native Americans.
Hey, make dinosaurs extinct again. Yeah. That's what we've always said it, you know. We've got our red hat saying it. Peter, how about you, buddy? You got anything? Instagram probably. What else?
Yeah, at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. I suppose I would want to... I'll take the opposite political opinion, which I guess is Build Back Better Dinosaurs, which I think was the opposite of Make Dinosaurs Extinct Again.
Dinosaurs, Yes We Can.
Yeah.
Isn't that a movie, Yes We Can, with a bunch of dinosaurs on it?
No, that's We're Back.
We're Back, yeah. Dinosaurs, We're Back. That'd be a good one, too.
Rodney Dangerfield, yeah. I mean, that's a classic for sure. And if you guys like the show, please think about leaving us a nice review on whatever podcast app you use. It means a lot for our numbers and for finding new people. If you want to join the conversation or suggest an episode, you can go to loreboys.com/about and find the links to our Discord. Link to our Discord will also be in the description of this episode, so you just click that and it should open Discord on your phone. If you don't have the Discord app, it should take you to the website, but I don't know how phones work, so maybe it doesn't. I don't know. You can figure it out. You're smart enough to listen to us. Anybody who wants to support the show financially, help keep the lights on, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. It means the world to us, to all of our patrons. If we have a new patron, I think we do. I'm sorry for not shouting you out. I didn't look you up before this episode, but we can maybe shout you out on the next episode. Jamie has very loudly left and rejoined. I assume he hit the update button on his Discord.
I'm trying to check who our new person was, and I jumped voice channels by accident.
You goober. Loreboys.com, or not loreboys.com, loreboys.com/about to find all links to everything, or patreon.com/theloreboys if you want to support the show financially. If you don't trust that and want to support our other initiatives, not keeping the lights on, but keeping the lights out, making dinosaurs the... dominant race on Earth, and they're not prone to traditional Edison light bulbs. So we are starting an initiative to extinct all people and all modern mammals, honestly.
I don't think we could say that.
I think we can. As long as you don't pick, like, one specific race or ethnicity to extinct. You could say, I want to extinct all people. That's fine.
I want to replace all us life.
With dinosaurs.
No, all human life, Jamie. We want to replace us with dinosaurs and bionic dinosaurs. We want to get them. So first things first, okay? We got to fit dinosaurs with hybrid motors, okay? These CO2 motors that are running on dinosaurs will not fly for the 2030s, okay? So if we want to get our tasks done, we need your guys' submission. Please send us, I think batteries, I think motor parts.
I had a funny thought of, like, two T-Rexes trying to start each other's rip mower. Like,
little arms.
You do mine, then I'll do yours.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we're gonna need some batteries and we're gonna need some engines. So if you're still living at home with your parents, just take the engine out of your dad's push mower, send it to us in the mail. We will not refund posting, because that's going to be expensive. But also send us any loose batteries you have. And we're gonna tape batteries to engines and make hybrid motors to power these dinosaurs.
A new green age of dinosaur power is upon us. We're going to do it.
Yeah, we're coming up with some really, really creative and unique uses of dinosaurs in the modern age. So
get them to run off of biomass. And then be self-sustaining.
That sounds pretty ambitious. I'm gonna tape batteries to electric motors until we can figure out how to biomass things. But if you've ever seen
anything that would lead me to believe that dinosaurs are liable to run amok at any given moment, either, they're very trustworthy animals.
But if you're a TikToker or know a favorite TikToker and ever wanted to tick and or talk from the back of a Gigantosaurus, as we call them, we're trying to make that happen. Okay, we're trying to make it possible, and we're trying to make it green. So please send your donations to Loreboys Street. It's 123 Loreboys Street, Loreboysville, country is of course Loreboys. We'll get it there.
It's our nation state.
we're libertarians, and we're a sovereign state. We don't believe in the jurisdiction of Canada as a country. And I guess that would constitute a Loreboys treason.
Loreboys.
Goodbye.
Seceding.
There's two possible outcomes from eating an entire jar of mayonnaise: coma or superpowers. And I'm not ready to find out which.
Well, let's check in on the LA Beast, see what he has to say about it.
Oh yeah, I bet he's done it.
Sure, he's eaten a jar or two in his day. I always say that mayonnaise is the grossest thing that I enjoy eating.
Yes.
It's egg and oil, like, in the end, right?
I know, as a concept, it's fine, but the thought of putting a spoonful of, or like licking the mayonnaise off a knife, like, horrifying. But I would do it. Ketchup, no problem. Ketchup, sure, whatever. Mustard, no problem. You know, relish, no problem. My name's Ethan. If I could trade monkey brain for any animal's kind of brain, I would have to go with crab brain, because apparently we're all going to get there someday anyway.
If I could trade monkey brain with anything, I'd get brain from your mom.
Whoa. My mom got big brain. She do crosswords.
Oh my God. If I could trade monkey brain.
So excited about the prospect.
Any
of
other
brains.
brain, I would like to get Hitler's brain, and then kill myself.
Thus killing
Hitler. They have it in a jar, and I think if they could do the transplant right before his personality overwrote mine, like the suit in Crisis, I think, then I'd kill myself.
Dude, that's basically the script for Looper I just watched.
Who do you think has Hitler's brain in a jar?
I don't know, like the CIA?
The Futurama folks?
I don't think the CIA was invented in 1945.
I was going to say, I don't think they were around. Yeah, exactly. Right. Probably no one. And to my knowledge, he killed himself already. So whatever was left of his brain was probably not in great shape.
I do think the answer is invalidated, because Hitler also technically had monkey brain. But if we're going to accept human brains as a possibility, then I would like to say Jamie Lee Curtis. And I would like it to happen by both of us running into each other in the hallway, head to head. and then waking up on some sort of freakish Friday.
Yeah. Now, do you guys have to bump into each other Thursday night for that to happen overnight?
For us to wake up on a freakish Friday? Yeah, unless we're out cold for a solid day, which is terrible.
It can happen on a Tuesday and then make a wacky Wednesday, you know? Like,
yeah.
Wacky Wednesday involves, like, clocks on the floor and a hose pouring water, although it's clearly cut in the middle. Things like that happens on a wacky Wednesday. So.
Okay.
For the record. My favorite Dr. Seuss book is Wacky Wednesday. So we're doing another sound check. You guys were, the levels were okay. You guys were just a little crunchy. You guys were crunching.
Okay.
So normal?
I don't know. Maybe we just always have bad sound. I mean, that doesn't sound good, but we're working on it.
Sorry. Like a child using an iPad that... Because I had it deactivated like as soon as I installed Windows, because I was like, why the fuck would I... I don't want Xbox game bar. Like, that sounds like garbage. So I, like, disabled it. But now that I'm using Game Pass, I can't see my achievements pop. I never know why I got one. And I was getting frustrated.
Yeah.